Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, March 19th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
Brexit drags on with Theresa May preparing to seek a long extension.
More details emerge about the U.S. investigation into Boeing's MAX jets.
The SEC's battle with Elon Musk is heating up again.
And the Fed begins a two-day policy meeting in Washington.
New Zealand's Prime Minister leads a call for social media platforms to face up to extremism, plus a search for a motive for the shootings in the Netherlands. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees have signed veteran pitcher Gio Gonzalez. The Knicks blown out in Toronto. The NCAA tournament begins tonight.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker. We are being brought to you by Flexport. Say hello to Flexport and the operating system for global trade, combining cloud technology and analytics, logistics infrastructure, and supply chain expertise. Learn more at flexport.com/OS.
U.S. futures and European equities gaining this morning, 6:01 on Wall Street. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 7.5 points. Dow futures up 78. NASDAQ futures up 21. The DAX in Germany up 0.6%. The CAC in Paris and FTSE 100 both up 0.3%. Nikkei 225 in Japan, little change, down less than 0.1%. Hang Seng in Hong Kong gained 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 2.59%. Yield on the 2-year 2.44%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.5% or 27 cents to $59.36 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.3% at $4.40 to $13.0590 an ounce. The euro, $1.1352. The yen, 111.28. John.
And we begin in the UK, Karen, where Prime Minister Theresa May is set to seek a long delay to Brexit. And Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek joins us live in London with the very latest. Seb, good morning.
Good morning, John and Karen. So the House of Commons Speaker torpedoing May's plans to win parliamentary approval for her deal to leave the EU. John Bercow says the Prime Minister now can't bring the same motion back to the Commons again. And that makes another vote unlikely before Thursday's summit. Officials privately accusing the Speaker of overreaching in his powers to help pro-EU politicians deliver a softer Brexit. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Sebastian, thank you. Back here in the U.S., the Federal Reserve kicks off a two-day policy meeting in Washington. The central bank is expected to hold interest rates steady, and former New York Fed President Bill Dudley says that trend should continue through June.
I think what's going to happen is we're going to have a pretty weak first quarter, and that's going to cause the Fed to wait for even more information.
Still, Dudley tells Bloomberg that rate hikes can't be ruled out for the second half of the year.
If the economy picks up speed again, as I expect will happen, and inflation starts to drift higher, then the Fed will be back in play maybe as early as the second half of this year.
The Fed decision tomorrow is expected to include new rate hike projections, plus an end to the central bank's balance sheet roll-off.
Boeing shares slid another 1.7% yesterday. And now there's growing concern the company may not get its MAX jets back in the air as soon as it wants. Let's get more from Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
Not only are investigations going on into the two crashes, but into the relationship between Boeing and the FAA. And that investigation began before the second crash. Bloomberg Intelligence George Ferguson says what they're finding is that Boeing and the FAA have had a very close, positive relationship. But
what we're finding out now is perhaps it went a bit too far here as Boeing was pushing to develop the MAX in response to the Airbus A320neo.
And Boeing CEO Dennis Muilenburg has sent a letter to airlines saying that there'll be a new software update soon, there will be more intensive pilot training, and that Boeing is taking actions to fully ensure the safety of the 737 MAX. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. Meanwhile, airlines around the world are assessing the financial impact from the MAX jet groundings. We get details from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellet.
Analysts are expecting a short-term hit to flying capacity, yet the financial impact remains in question, with WestJet Airlines withdrawing its forecasts, echoing a similar move from Air Canada last week. Stifel analyst Joseph DiNardi wrote in a note, quote, U.S. airlines expect the MAX grounding to be short-lived as schedule adjustments when made are short in duration. Charlie Pellet, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. In other corporate news, the SEC's battle with Tesla CEO Elon Musk is heating up again. Bloomberg's Patrice Acora has the very latest.
The Securities and Exchange Commission is once again requesting that a judge find Elon Musk in contempt of court after learning that Tesla CEO has not received pre-approval for a single one of his tweets about the company. Musk's settlement with the SEC in October called for Tesla to designate an attorney to pre-approve company-related tweets from the CEO. While such an attorney is in place, that person is monitoring the tweets in real time, not approving them beforehand. Patrice Sikora, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Patrice, thank you. On the earnings front, shares of Revlon tumbled 9% in late trading after sales dropped nearly 6% last quarter. Revlon also warns a delayed 10-K filing may reveal a material weakness in its financial reporting controls. Executives say that's tied to a software issue that could cost $54 million to fix.
Shares of pot producer Tilray rose more than 2% after revenue that beat estimates. The company sold more cannabis at higher prices in the fourth quarter, but still lost $31 million in the period. Margins were also weaker than projected as operating expenses climbed.
In Europe, shares of ASOS are down 2%. The UK fashion retailer reported second quarter sales growth that fell short of its full year target, which it had already lowered last month. Retail sales grew 11%. Its full year target calls for growth of 15%.
Coming up in the U.S. today, we get earnings from FedEx. With a preview, here's Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Analysts are overwhelmingly upbeat. Buy ratings on FedEx outnumber hold and sell ratings combined by 5-1. But Bloomberg Intelligence says the company is going to have to report results at its express division if it wants to keep the bears at bay. Investors will also want an update on the integration of TNT operations in Europe. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thank you. S&P futures higher, up 8 points. Dow futures up 80. NASDAQ futures up 22. The 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 2.59%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. 6:07 on Wall Street. And let's get news from around the world this morning. We say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
John, thank you very much. New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern is imploring the public to speak the names of the 50 people who died in the Christchurch mosque shootings rather than the accused gunmen. She says while the man sought notoriety, she wants to make sure New Zealand gives him nothing, not even his name. Ardern added that on top of changing gun laws in New Zealand, changes are needed to social media sites as well.
They are the publisher, not just the postman. There cannot be a case of all profit, no responsibility.
Authorities in the Netherlands say they're looking at all potential motives in yesterday's shooting in the city of Utrecht that left three dead. A suspect is in the custody of Dutch authorities. Brazil's President Jair Bolsonaro visits the White House today. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports the South American leader is an ardent admirer of President Trump.
It's no big surprise Brazil's new head of state has chosen to visit first with President Trump. Bolsonaro revels in being called the Trump of the tropics. He's an enthusiastic student of Trump's turbulent Twitter-based style of government, and addressing the U.S. Chamber of Commerce through a translator yesterday, he borrowed some familiar rhetoric.
We want to have a great Brazil, just like Trump wants to have a great America.
Bolsonaro says the meeting offers a historic opportunity for the two nations to work together. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue says the U.S. and China are still in the negotiating phase on trade talks. Perdue says, though, China could triple buying of U.S. farm products. Perdue, speaking to Bloomberg, also says Japan could give the U.S. some leeway.
Japan understands that what they export here with the trade imbalance that we have. President Trump has made that very clear to them that we need to shrink in that or that trade imbalance, and I think that you'll see Japan make some decisions that can help us do that through agricultural imports.
Meanwhile, in a separate interview, Perdue says the record flooding in the U.S. Midwest That's flooding fields is also causing damage to soybeans that are in storage. Vice President Mike Pence will travel to Nebraska today to survey the damage from flooding in the Midwest. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 610 on Wall Street, it's time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashower.
John, the Yankees will start the season next week without two starting pitchers. Luis Severino's been set back to May. CC Sabathia not ready after offseason surgery. So the Yanks have signed the veteran lefty Gio Gonzalez. Many years with Washington. It's a minor league deal, but he could make $3 million if he makes the major league team. For what it's worth, Yanks having a superb spring. They have not lost any of their last eight games. They're a major league best 14-6, a 7-4 win over the Braves. Masahiro Tanaka, who will start the opener, pitched five innings. Luke Voit with his fourth home run. Michael Conforto hit his fourth. The Mets lost to the Nationals. They open up with them for real next week. 6-5 drops the Mets spring record to 9-14. The Knicks are 14-57, hammered in Toronto 128-92, and the Raptors didn't even use their best player, Kawhi Leonard. The Warriors lost in San Antonio. The Spurs have won 9 in a row. NCAA tournament begins, as always, in Dayton, Ohio. Fairleigh Dickinson leading off against Prairie View A&M for the right to then face top seed Gonzaga. Temple plays Belmont. St. John's and Arizona State meet in Dayton tomorrow. Giants general manager Dave Gettleman has been getting criticized, not only for trading Odell Beckham to Cleveland, but for sticking with the seemingly aging Eli Manning at quarterback. Yesterday, he defended the move.
If you disagree with me, that's fine. But what I'm telling you is, if you turn around and you take a look at what he's making right now, and look around the league and see what quarterbacks are making, if you were in my shoes, you'd say, you know what, there really is not. The way he finished the season and what he's making, there really wasn't a decision to make.
As for the Beckham trade, Gettleman said he got an offer from the Browns that he couldn't refuse. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
Hey, thanks, John. You ready for football and country music? The NFL draft is going to be held in Nashville next month. Grammy-winning country star Tim McGraw is going to perform a free outdoor concert April 26th. And the Grammy-winning gospel singer CeCe Winans will sing the national anthem April 25th to open the 3 days of draft events. The league says more than 20 Nashville-based acts will perform. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak being brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at nria.net.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, 617 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue says China may triple its purchases of U.S. farm goods over the next 2 to 5 years. He says China is offering some attractive numbers as part of trade talks. Boeing will release a software update and pilot training for the 737 MAX soon as data emerges from the Ethiopian Airlines crash. Meanwhile, Reuters reports Canada is re-examining approvals for the model. The SEC says Elon Musk is defying a court order that he must seek pre-approval for company tweets. The agency says the Tesla CEO's tweets are being reviewed only after they're posted. And Prime Minister Theresa May is seeking a long delay to Brexit. According to The Sun, May is drafting a letter asking for an extension of 9 to 12 months. For the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen.
Anna George, thank you. And this just crossing, with sources telling Bloomberg China is looking at excluding Boeing's troubled 737 MAX jet from a list of American exports it would buy as part of a trade deal with the U.S. Right now, futures are higher. S&P futures up 8 points. Dow futures up 80. Nasdaq futures up 22. The DAX in Germany is up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 2.59%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.44%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.5% or 30 cents to $59.39 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.4 percent or $5 to $13.06.50 an ounce. The euro, $1.1349, the yen, 111.26. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern told Parliament today that there cannot be a case of all profit and no responsibility when it comes to Facebook and other social media platforms. Ardern is leading a call for social media sites to stop hosting extremist propaganda, including terrorist events after Friday's deadly mosque shootings that were live-streamed. Authorities in the Netherlands are trying to find a motive for yesterday's shooting on board a tram in Utrecht, where three people were killed. Dutch investigators are not sure whether the attack was terror-related. In the NBA, the Knicks lost along with the Celtics, Warriors, and Wizards. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 620 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. I'm John Tucker. Well, today, day one of a two-day Fed meeting, Bloomberg's Mike McKee, our international economics and policy correspondent, joins us to walk us through this. Can the Fed outdove itself?
It probably will, John. That's market expectation. They will stay on hold. There's not going to be any rate increase. The real question is, at this point, what do they do about the balance sheet? Do they tell us that they are done after a certain point this year with the wind down of the balance sheet? What size is it going to be? Any other information?
Done because they're on hold, or done because there's nothing left to...
Done because they're at the level they think they need in terms of the balance sheet in order to conduct monetary policy operations. Of course, we get the dot plot and the new economic projections. Your favorite, the dot plot. And
okay, I'm going to say, I'm going to guess that Q1 was kind of, well, not the greatest. And why? They could just be patient, right?
Of course. There's no inflation to speak of at this point. It's well below 2%. Doesn't seem to be climbing at this point. So they can wait. The issue is the low unemployment rate and the fact that it is starting to push up, it appears, wages. Does that feed through into higher prices as companies try to make up some of the money they have to pay their workers? If so, then the Fed has a problem. But right now, there's no sign of it. So looks like they'll stay on hold for a while.
I'm going to argue that one of the things that, well, there are a lot of things that keep central bankers up at night. One of the main ones is outright deflation. Are they going to change the way they look at inflation in the economy? What's happening on that front?
Well, the Fed's looking at its monetary policy regime and how they conduct policy, but it's not likely to change in a major way. They're going to keep the 2% inflation target. The question is really kind of about what they do if and when they get inflation over 2%. Right now they have what they call a symmetric target. It may run a little bit above it. It may run a little bit below it. The question for them is, or at least that some are bringing up, is do they want to set a policy of running above the 2% level to make up for a lengthy period of time in which they've been below 2%? A lot of dissent, a lot of controversy, shall we say, at the Fed about that proposal.
June and September seem to be months that I need to pay attention to. Is that right?
Well, that's because March is on hold and they aren't likely to do anything in May. So you look to June as the first possible rate increase that the markets think could happen. But that'll depend on the data. We keep watching the data. September's so far away at this point. It was at one point when people were thinking if they were going to raise rates one more time this year, that would be the month. But now you're starting to see people even price in rate cuts. We're going to have, as you said, a very slow first quarter. That will keep people pessimistic. Bill Dudley told us on Bloomberg yesterday, the former New York Fed president, that he thinks the economy will rebound in the second half, and we'll be talking about Fed rate increases again. But that's not on the horizon yet.
What do you want to hear from Jerome Powell? What are we going to hear from him, do you suppose?
Well, the question is, can he avoid any landmines like the one he stepped on in December, suggesting that the balance sheet runoff would be unlimited or would go on for an unspecified amount of time? He's going to try to keep the Fed's dovish cashed, as you suggested, and not give the markets any reason to think that the Fed is anxious to raise rates at this point.
All right, what's the expectation for markets right now? Is there a disconnect in terms of the number of rate increases we're going to see?
The markets at this point, as they have for a long time, have been underpricing Fed rate moves. Basically, they've priced out any move this year. The question is, can you move the dot plot low enough to actually show that from a Fed standpoint and get people thinking that the Fed is on board with that? Maybe the Fed will say one, but does it really matter at this point?
Is one dot more interesting than the other?
If we knew where Jay Powell's dot was, we would be very interested.
Everybody falls in line with his dot. Is that what you're saying?
Almost everybody.
Okay, Mike McKee, our international economics and policy correspondent. Of course, the two-day Fed meeting starts today, wraps up tomorrow. We get a decision around 2 o'clock or so. Ahead of the market open on Wall Street, S&P futures right now, they are up 8 points. The Dow futures up 78 points. The Nasdaq E-mini futures right now are 21 points higher. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak being brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit a Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning, I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. The Federal Reserve kicks off a two-day policy meeting in Washington today. The central bank is expected to hold interest rates steady. And former New York Fed President Bill Dudley says that trend should continue through June.
We want more information about how the economy is performing on the growth side. And we want more information about inflation. I think what's going to happen is we're going to have a pretty weak first quarter, and that's going to cause the Fed to wait for even more information.
The Fed decision is expected to include new rate hike projections, plus an end to the central bank's balance sheet roll-off.
In Europe, Prime Minister Theresa May set to seek a long delay to Brexit. Let's get details from Bloomberg's Thomas Penny in London.
House of Commons Speaker John Bercow told May that if she wants to ask lawmakers to vote again on her Brexit deal, it will have to be substantially changed from the agreement they rejected last week. With time running out to ask for any further concessions, it's increasingly likely that May will have to go to Thursday's EU Council and ask for a long delay, meaning it might be another year before Britain leaves the bloc. In London, Thomas Penny, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thomas, thank you. Oil trading near the highest level this year after OPEC and its partners committed to continue production cuts until at least June. Checking oil right now, NYMEX crude oil up half a percent, up 29 cents to $59.38 a barrel. Brent is up 0.6% at $67.96.
And Bloomberg News has learned China is looking at excluding Boeing 737 MAX jet from a list of American exports it would buy as part of a trade deal with the U.S.
On the earnings front, shares of Tilray rose more than 2% in extended trading. The cannabis producer reported revenue that beat estimates.
And Revlon shares falling 9% in late trading after the company warned its delayed 10-K filing may reveal a material weakness in its financial reporting controls. More from Charlie Pellett.
The company said it intends to file its 10-K no later than March 29th and does not expect that it will result in any changes to its financial results. The earnings themselves weren't great either. Sales fell 5.7% last quarter, but offset somewhat by strength in Elizabeth Arden and China. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. S&P futures up 8 points this morning. Dow futures up 77. NASDAQ futures up 21. The DAX in Germany's up 0.7%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 2.59%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.44%, and the euro, $1.1353. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update now being brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor-advised fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy. Open a JCF fund now to lock in a 2019 tax deduction. Visit jcfny.org. Let's get news from around the world this morning. We say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, John. Turkey's foreign ministry has condemned the Utrecht tram shooting that killed at least three people. The suspect is now in custody in the Netherlands. The shooting came 3 days after 50 people were killed when a white supremacist opened fire at two mosques in Christchurch, New Zealand, during Friday prayers. New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern, speaking to Parliament, is imploring the public to speak the names of the people who died rather than the accused gunmen.
He sought many things from his act of terror, but one was notoriety. And that is why you will never hear me mention his name.
Facebook and other social media platforms are getting more pressure to stop hosting extremist propaganda after Friday's mass shooting in New Zealand. Australia's Prime Minister has urged the group of 20 nations to use a meeting in June to discuss a crackdown. It is a real disaster of great proportions. That's how the president of Mozambique is describing a cyclone that slammed into the country, submerging entire villages. More than 1,000 people are feared dead. Vice President Mike Pence travels to Nebraska today to tour flood damage in the Midwest. Roads and bridges were washed out. Dams and levees were destroyed. The French government announced a new round of security measures to prevent a repeat of Saturday's Yellow Vest protests when shops were burned and looted around Paris. That's where we'll find Bloomberg's Gregory Viscusi.
Prime Minister Edouard Philippe said the government could simply start banning protests in iconic locales such as the Champs-Élysées, as well as making greater use of drones and video surveillance. But the overall sense is one of a government just not knowing what it will take to end 4 months of protests that continue to bedevil President Emmanuel Macron even after he spent billions trying to meet their demands. In Paris, Gregory Viscusi, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue says China may triple its purchases of U.S. farm goods.
We could easily see, if we're able to come to a trade resolution, of doubling or tripling that kind of number over a period of 2 to 4 or 5 years.
Purdue, speaking to Bloomberg, says China is offering some attractive numbers as part of trade talks. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 6:36 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And here's John Stanshower.
John, the baseball season actually begins tomorrow morning. A's and Mariners, first of two games in Japan. Met and Yankee openers a week from Thursday. And yet, several accomplished veteran free agents still unsigned. Gio Gonzalez was one of them. 30 games over 500 in his career, mostly with Washington. The Yankees now have a minor league deal with Gonzalez. He'll try to be part of a Yankee rotation that is minus two starters, as Luis Severino and CC Sabathia not ready to pitch the start of the season. Another Yankee win, 7-4 over the Braves. Aaron Judge tearing up the Grapefruit League. Had a two-run triple. He's hit six home runs. Luke Voit hit his fourth. Mets lost to the Nationals 6-5. Knicks off that thrilling win over the Lakers, brought back to reality. In Toronto, the Raptors won 128-92. They had eight in double figures. Alonzo Trier had 22 for the Knicks. The Knights of Fairleigh Dickinson have never won an NCAA tournament game. They're 0-5. They've got a shock tonight as they kick off the tourney in Dayton, Ohio, against Prairie View A&M. This was Giants general manager Dave Gettleman in January, asked about trading Odell Beckham.
We didn't sign him to trade him, if that's what you're asking me.
He'll be here.
You hear what I said?
Said the same thing a month later, and then a month after that, Gettleman traded Beckham to Cleveland.
As I said publicly twice, we didn't sign him to trade him, but obviously things changed. And frankly, what changed is another team made an offer we couldn't refuse. But at the end of the day, in order for us to move Odell, the other team was going to have to knock it out of the park.
Giants got from the Browns the 17th overall pick of next month's draft, plus a third rounder, plus safety Jabril Peppers. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John.
All right, John, thanks a lot. It is now 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
For online trolls, India might be the world's fattest target. Nearly a billion people are registered to vote in the country's upcoming elections. The potential for hoaxes, slander, rumors, and sundry other misinformation to influence voters is vast. India's efforts to combat that threat, however, risk undermining the very democracy they're meant to save. A set of draft regulations would impose drastic, if not impossible, obligations on platforms. One rule would force them to break encryption if asked to trace the source of objectionable content. Another would require companies to use automated filters to police content. A better approach is clearly needed. The goal should be to protect citizens and democratic discourse. That means chipping away at disinformation without hurting privacy rights or freedom of speech. Democracies can't resist manipulation if they undermine the very rights that make them strongest. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion. Or OPI and Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. It's taking some time for workers to recover from the U.S. government shutdown, and labor unions are already preparing for the next one that could come in October. Nancy Lyons reports from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
Labor leaders say members are struggling to recover. Bloomberg Law's Louis Lebrecht on how they're phrasing it.
They have PTSD from this recent experience, so they're certainly not going to take it for granted that another shutdown can be avoided.
One union official believes there's one key change that might prevent another shutdown.
Congress should actually hold off on the DOD bill until the other bills have been passed, because that would allow particularly Democrats in Congress to have more leverage with regards to these talks.
In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, thanks, Nancy. It is now 6:39 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. When the 2017 tax law was enacted, it was far from perfect. A drafting error, known as the retail glitch, assigned certain types of capital a longer cost recovery period. That made them ineligible for an immediate tax write-off. Building improvements, for example, they have to be written off over a period as long as 39 years. Affected small businesses include restaurants and retailers. Now, resolving the issue has been among the technical fixes to the tax law that lawmakers have hoped to make. Fixes to the law will require bipartisan backing. And now there's a bill from Senators Pat Toomey, a Republican, and Doug Jones, a Democrat, that would ensure restaurants and retailers can take advantage of the tax overhaul provision, allowing them to immediately write off the costs of facility improvements. In a statement, Toomey says, as a former restaurant owner, he knows keeping a small business alive is always a challenge. The federal tax code should not make it more difficult. And that is the Bloomberg Small Business Report. It's 6:41. And morning call being brought to you by Columbia Bank. Yield plus checking from Columbia Bank takes the stable growth of a high-rate CD and combines it with the freedom of a checking account. Visit a branch today or ColumbiaBankOnline.com. Count on Columbia.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and this update is brought to you by Flexport. Flexport's operating system for global trade delivers visibility and control for predictable supply chain costs and reliable transit times, all from a powerful technology platform. Learn more at flexport.com/OS. And futures this morning are moving higher. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are trading higher right now. Dow futures up 87 points. S&P's climb 9 and NASDAQ futures rise by 22. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.59%. Oil is also rising. And Shanghai was a little changed overnight. Well, European markets are also trading higher, led by gains in Germany. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 10 o'clock, factory orders and durable goods orders. And after the bell last night, Tilray revenue beat estimates. And regarding earnings this morning, look for DSW and Michaels to report around 7 a.m. In other news, utility PG&E price target was raised to 20 from 16 over at UBS. Electronic Arts price target raised to 88 at Morgan Stanley on Apex Legends potential. And China is said to consider excluding the Boeing 737 MAX jet from any trade deal. Wrapping things up, Lear was cut to hold over at Deutsche Bank. Southern Copper upgraded to hold over at HSBC. Domino's Pizza upgraded to overweight at JP Morgan. And Hess Midstream cut to market reform over at Wells Fargo. Live from the First Word Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern says social media sites like Facebook cannot simply sit back and accept that these platforms just exist, and what is said is not the responsibility of the place where they are published. Ardern, before Parliament today, called for platforms to stop hosting extremist propaganda, including terrorist events like Friday's mosque shootings in Christchurch that were live-streamed. The president of Brazil is speaking of his admiration for President Trump and the U.S. ahead of their meeting today at the White House. In a speech yesterday to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, President Jair Bolsonaro said his two predecessors held anti-American views. In the NBA, the Knicks lost along with the Celtics, Warriors, and Wizards. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, move over Singapore, the world's most expensive city, has two new rivals. After topping the Economist Intelligence Unit's Worldwide Cost of Living Survey for 5 years, Singapore has been joined by Paris and Hong Kong in a tie at the top of the table. John Zurich and Geneva rounded out the top five, while New York and Los Angeles reclaimed spots in the top 10.
And for a studio apartment in Singapore, you could buy like 100 acres in the Poconos.
Oh, yeah. Not to mention in Bug Tussle, Tennessee. It's your global news 24 hours a day, which is kind of like the...
Anyway, right. Yeah. Gotcha.
24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is now 6:50 on Wall Street. And that means it's time to check on what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Trump hosting a joint press conference with the Brazilian President Bolsonaro. And we're going to bring that to you live at 1:45 p.m. Wall Street time. Later in the day, the president and the first lady discuss the initiative to stop opioid abuse and reduce drug supply and demand. Also, the Federal Reserve meets for the first of its two-day policy meeting. And also making this news this morning from the White House, the annual economic report of the president. Joining us now with details, Bloomberg Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cirilli. Kevin, good morning. This report just out. I got to imagine this kind of sets some of the themes for the 2020 campaign.
Yes, exactly. The president has and the White House really have been trying to push out this narrative of a growth economy, that the economy is going to be growing above 3% GDP growth. But as we all know, there are forecasters who have disagreed with that assessment. It also comes just one day following the release of the full budget. Now, that budget blueprint released by the White House, really, as you mentioned, having direct correlation to the looming 2020 presidential race. Republicans have argued that there needs to be significant cuts made to wasteful government spending, what they would call wasteful government spending. Democrats saying, hey, not so fast. These are programs that are important to the nation. The bottom line is that the crux of the president's policy agenda remains the construction of the wall along the U.S.-Mexico border. And it's something that, as we all know, he had to use his first veto over and is posing a significant legal risk. So we're going to be talking about the wall. We're going to be talking about terrorists and whatnot. But it's more of the same right now in terms of expectations from the White House.
Oh, yeah. Well, since you bring up the budget, where do we stand with this? I mean, did you just say that somebody wants to balance the budget? Somebody wants to be more. Did you just say somebody wants to be more fiscally responsible, Kevin?
No, you know, I think I deserve that remark, because truthfully, I mean, I talked to a lot of Republicans up on Capitol Hill who rolled their eyes at this White House privately, especially at the staff level, and they say, "Hey, wait a minute, where is the fiscal austerity that we've been wondering about, that we've been concerned about?" And what's interesting is that if you're acting chief of staff, Mick Mulvaney, for example. He's the former budget director, but also a founding member when he was back in Congress of the House Freedom Caucus. So the bottom line is that in terms of any type of balanced budget, you can have two things happen. One, proposed cuts to Medicare and Medicaid, and Democrats stay game on, especially with 2020. Or two, some type of balanced budget amendment, which, as we all know, at the constitutional level, would be incredibly, incredibly difficult for Republicans to pass.
Okay, let me, before we get on to foreign policy, the president attacked GM over the weekend for plans to close a factory. We've had some time to kind of fact check the allegations. What is he getting right and wrong in these tweets?
Well, a couple of things. First and foremost, I mean, the president has been aggressive against GM. He has not liked their closure of the Lordstown plant right outside of Youngstown, Ohio. That's a key political battleground area in the state of Ohio, which is, of course, a battleground state. From a policy standpoint, it's interesting because it could be tariffs. The president obviously has pitched them.
All right, Kevin, thanks a lot. The chief Washington correspondent, Kevin Cirilli. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the terminal. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. Let's head to Germany now for a different sort of discussion on politics. German Chancellor Angela Merkel is speaking to Bloomberg editor-in-chief John Micklethwaite about Brexit amid the recent turmoil that has Prime Minister Theresa May set to delay the UK's exit from the EU. Here's part of that conversation now with Chancellor Merkel.
Would you like to have a short extension so that it doesn't affect the European elections? Or would you like to give them a year to sort out the problem?
What I absolutely want to do. I am very, very interested in having a very good relationship with Britain, even after they have left the European Union. It's in the German interest, and it's certainly in the interest of the 27 member states as a whole. I take Theresa May very seriously when she says that Britain stays in Europe, it will simply leave the European Union. So we have common interests because of our geopolitical situation. Britain has always been a country that has felt very much committed to the principle of multilateralism. We have a very close cooperation in security, also internal security on defense, but also internal security, terrorism, and so on. So that is why we made provisions for the citizens to have as clear a legal situation as possible, even in the event of no deal. That will only invariably be the second best solution, but we're working on this. Until the very last hour of the 29th of March, I will fight for an orderly Brexit, an orderly leaving of Britain of the European Union. We don't have that much time left to us, but a few days. And I must say that I'm not in a position to speculate what I will do on Thursday, because it depends on what Theresa May will tell us, what the situation is in the Parliament by that time. And we will adequately and together as 27 react to this. And the less each and everyone is speculating in public, the easier it is.
Last thing on that, I know you talked to Theresa May because she is the government of Britain. And I know that you don't like interfering in the sovereignty of other countries. But this is very obviously being decided by Parliament rather than by a government. And if you had Boris Johnson, Jacob Rees-Mogg and the Brexiteers standing in front of you, what would you say to them?
The same that I say to Theresa May. I mean, I'm not talking with different tongues, as it were, or different voices to different people. I say very clearly what my interests are, what I think is right, and then I wait for the answer of the others. We respect the Parliament here in Germany. The Federal Chancery, as you know, from an architectural point of view, is aligned in such a way that I look directly onto the Parliament and also from my Cabinet Office. So we know who has the political power, and without parliamentary votes and parliamentary majorities, no political decisions are possible. We've learned a little bit more about the procedures and about the statutes of the House of Commons. Here, it would not be possible, for example, for a parliament not setting its own agenda. The government will also be in some way deciding that, but it's interesting. We have every respect, no matter who is standing in front of me from Britain, to work for our common interests.
And that's German Chancellor Angela Merkel speaking to Bloomberg editor-in-chief John Micklethwaite in Germany this morning. Bloomberg Surveillance with Jonathan Farrow and Lisa Abramowitz is straight ahead. For John Tucker, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.